On today's episode of the Science and Spirituality podcast, we got the pleasure of interviewing Dr. Vic Manzo Jr. I believe that was his full name, right? Mm-hmm. Dr. Vic Manzo Jr. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So quick bio of him. Dr. Vic is a business and spiritual mindset coach, certified pediatric chiropractic or chiropractor, inspirational speaker and influential author. He's the author of 3 books, which his latest one, released in May of 2022, is Decoding the Matrix. And for the past 15 years, Dr. Vic has been studying what makes an individual great. Through his journey from ancient wisdom and spiritual laws to quantum physics and functional neurology, he has connected the gap from the spiritual world to the physical. This blend of these two allows Dr. Vic to help his clients have quantum leaps in their business and life due to having them become more aware of the blocks that they hold them back through limiting beliefs while creating effortless success within their lives. So that's actually what we got into at the very end of his bio, is effortless success. And it was a really awesome conversation.
Yeah, I agree. And he was so knowledgeable too. And, you know, just being able to break down seemingly complex topics into things very simple. I think that's like the definition of someone who's mastered a craft or a skill. Right. And so he was great at explaining things down to that level. And so, get your pen and paper and take some notes.
Definitely. Yeah. And there's just a preface. There's 3 keys that he shared about effortless success. And me, Kevin, as a coach, I echo that. Like whenever mm-hmm. I work with clients, it's those 3 as well, at least, you know, there's more to it, but they're very simple. So definitely, like Chris said, feel free to take notes because there was a lot of good stuff in this. So
yeah,
enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the Science and Spirituality Podcast, where we dive deep into universal spiritual principles and ground them in modern science. My name is Chris Carden.
And my name is Kevin Carden, and we are committed to simplifying the spiritual side of success for you with easy-to-understand scientific research so you can walk away with practical tools to create radical transformations in your life. Let's get started. So welcome to the Science and Spirituality Podcast. Today we have another great guest. His name is Dr. Vic Manzo. So Manzo Jr. Apologize, I didn't add that. But welcome to the podcast, Dr. Vic. Looking forward to having this conversation.
No, I'm excited to be here. I'm really excited to have this convo with you guys. So I appreciate you guys having me on.
Of course. So we'd love to hear from you, like just your quick story of like how you got to where you are today. And studying the things that you do and doing the work that you do as a coach. I know you also are a chiropractor. So a lot of the work that you do is helping people, but what's your story of how you got there?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things about me, I've been a chiropractor for 12 years and it's one of those things where I never had an intention on being a chiropractor. It wasn't like, I don't have doctors in the family. I come from a very, very blue collar family. And it was one of those things where I had to have a conditioning of what health was be challenged. You know, my mom's a fitness instructor. Long story short, she's been a fitness instructor since I was 1 year old, been doing yoga for over 20 something years. And so I always saw her exercising, eating well, taking supplements. And I always thought, okay, that's health. I saw the same people. I go work at the Civic Center to go play basketball with friends and stuff. And then I go meet up with her after her class to go home. And all those people were pretty much in good shape. And they kind of did similar things. It wasn't until I was 19 years old where that got challenged. And I had health issues that just started kicking in left and right from a whole various of things. And after about a year, I was like, okay, I need to go see a doctor or something. And before we got an appointment for a medical doctor, but right before she's like, why don't you go see Dr. Frank? And that was a chiropractor I saw when I was a kid for like a year. And I was like, well, if he can help me, I'll do it. And if he can get me in tomorrow, let's make it happen. And she called, got me in. My whole life was changed. And I was blown away how fast I got better. But not only that, I was already playing rugby for Arizona State at the time for the club team. I was lifting weights. I was doing all this workout stuff and it was getting worse. And here it is all of a sudden, you know, 4 months later, I'm in the best shape of my life I've ever been. And I was just like, this is mind boggling. I need to learn more about this. So that was my journey in the chiropractic. When I got there though, I was a little bothered that when you go into chiropractic school for the first year and a half is identical to medical school. We learned the same stuff. And I was just like, man, I want to learn more about the philosophy of chiropractic and the power behind it and all this other stuff. So I got into energy healing instead. I went outside and started doing energy healing, like Reiki. I became a Reiki master and trainer for a little bit. But then I studied about 12 different energy techniques, modalities that are out there. And that's what started to open my world to spirituality, quantum physics, because I was going in for energy healing, but I started to learn not only how energy works in general and universal laws and all this other stuff. And I was just like, wow, this is, I was so intrigued. So I kept studying and learning. But it wasn't until 5 years in the business where I started to, I did everything the business world tells you to do. And long story short, I was burned out and I started to go, success shouldn't be this way. I shouldn't be grinding all the time. I shouldn't be feeling like I'm going uphill. I was very unsatisfied where I was, unfulfilled and so much more. But I hit my financial peak. That was great, but everything else wasn't. And that's where I started to apply things about what I talk about now, which is like effortless success and so forth. I literally took my hands off the wheel of my business. I just focused on universal laws, what quantum physics talks about, got into neuroscience principles and all these other things. And I said, I'm going to approach life this way. And I want to see if this is true. And it's been around for, you know, eons. And I've studied a lot of ancient wisdom, a lot of old wisdom stuff. I said, if this is all true, it has to work for me. And it did. A year and a half later, I took a hit financially on purpose, but a year and a half later, we were right back where we were. I was working more than 50% less. And I was fulfilled, satisfied, and so much more. That's what opened up the door to coaching, because then I was like, entrepreneurs need to know this. They're just right. Conditioned way too much to be the opposite. And 3 years later, my wife and I were moving from, I was telling you guys earlier, we moved from Chicago to Knoxville. I let my chiropractic office go because we couldn't sell it due to the climate in Illinois. And we weren't going to wait around anymore. And so we said, you know what? Obviously, the universe is telling us, it's telling us a few things, and we have to make a choice. And we made the choice to follow our heart and what makes us happy rather than continue the lifestyle and what we did there. And that's when I went full time in the coaching. That's how the story led up to where I'm at today.
Amazing. Well, thank you for summarizing that so briefly. It was amazing. And you hit on a lot of really, really good points. I could already tell Chris like got 10 questions. So Chris, what is your first thought on all that?
Well, my first thought was, so when you were a chiropractor and you decided to, I guess, start to live life more effortlessly, you were still doing chiropractic at that time, right? And testing the universal principles within your chiropractic office before you went to become a coach, right?
Yes. I wanted to test things out to see, okay, if everything's law of vibration and I have to be at my vibration essence, well, what does that look like? What does that mean? What are the principles, law of focus? I was just starting to take everything I knew. And I said, okay, enough of this, me seeking out, like listening to the best business advice. I mean, guys, I was reading 80 to 120 books a year where my max, it was 132. I was not listening to music. I was listening to podcasts and video. I was so like, you talk about just doing everything they tell you to do. I was like there and beyond that. And it was one of those things where I was like, I'm going to do the total opposite. I mean, don't get me wrong. I still read books. I still listen to podcasts from time to time. But it's a whole different approach where I'm not seeking the books or what's the next 10 books I should read or what's, it's more of like, whatever's going to come to me is going to come to me. Mm-hmm. And it's a whole different way of looking at things. And it was kind of cool to go through that experience. So I had to see it first in myself. And then from there, when I saw that, that's what opened up the door of curiosity to be like, man, entrepreneurs need to know this. They just need to know this in some way, shape or form. And I have a feeling with my diverse background, I can come from different angles to really help make that change. And that's what kind of propelled me that way.
It's amazing. Yeah. What would you say? Because my mind is going right to like, there's a lot of our listeners who are aware of that there are laws of the universe and that life can be different, but obviously most people are not living that way. And so, especially, but I think that's changing quickly, especially with the access to information. But then it can be, like you said, it's like can be maybe overwhelming. I don't think you use that word, but like you were consuming a lot because there's a lot of access to information, but not a lot was changing. So my curiosity is like, where would you start? Like in terms of like laws and like to actually get into that kind of effortless success that you talk about.
The biggest thing that I've learned, if I can summarize everything, this is what I work with clients on right off the bat, is vision.
Yes.
If you look at everything, and I don't mean, like vision boards are great because sometimes I say that and people think vision boards, but I mean, what I mean by vision is the Bible says it, Proverbs 29 verse 18 states that you have to have people without a vision, people without a vision will perish. And there's other, you look at other religions, they talk about vision. And when you look at, you know, quantum physics, the observer effect all talks about when we focus, how we see something. Ancient wisdom, what you see in your mind, what you're going to create in your reality. Neurology, you can fool. I mean, there's so much on this. Your mind can't tell the difference what you imagine into what your eyes see. So create a vision, you know, tap into your imagination. Billionaires, when I was studying billionaires, I was blown away how so many of them use imagination for about 20 minutes a day. they just go and imagine it. They go step into that world. But for me, it's always about vision of how you see yourself and what you want to be, because we have to be first. And so what does that look like? Who's that individual? What does that feel like? What are you thinking? How are you moving? All these things. But one of the things I work with clients is I get into what's called I call it your main vision. It's like your soul's purpose. What's the main vision and reason why you're here? Like, what's your main purpose that you exist? You know, and that I think is critical, because that starts to, and the reason why I do that is because from there, this is where alignment comes in. And maybe because I'm a chiropractor, I like that term. But you know, because when the spine's in alignment, everything works at ease. It's now we're following the law of least effort, right? And right. It's one of those things where, well, the same thing is true for the mind. And when we focus, when we take action that is aligned with our main vision, we're letting go. We're lowering the barriers or the resistance. And resistance is what doesn't allow us to achieve what we want. So when we're in a state of alignment, now all of a sudden our actions are like a laser, and you're putting more focus to a certain point. And so big, big fan. But you can use vision boards and stuff with that. But it's just one of those things where, and some people need that. I have a vision board standing right, it's behind the camera, but I have three of them just sitting there. And it's one, so I do use them, but it's one of those things where tapping into vision is so critical. It's a game changer. And it has been for me. That was one of the first steps I did in my thing, where I was like, how do I want to see my practice? Because I made a change in my practice. At 5 years, I took a 40% hit on purpose, because it wasn't the practice I wanted. And I shifted to lifestyle, but I went to focus on pediatrics, pregnancy, for, you know, all these things. And, but I had to have a vision in my head of what I saw the practice being. And what was cool about this is in 6 months, we hit our goal for pediatric volume, which means we had a 5% patient volume of pediatrics. And in 6 months, we're at 48%. Nice. And then the part of that other vision was is seeing moms hanging out in the waiting room and talking and hanging out together. They choose their appointments close together so they can all hang out and then go do something after. And it was about a year later, we started seeing that. So that's the power of the aspect of vision and seeing things in that way.
Amazing. Yeah, beautiful. I'm a coach myself, and that's literally the first thing I work with anyone on as well. It's so important. What would you say? Because I know, obviously, me working with clients too, one of the main things that I find is that people have a resistance to even having the vision, because the doubts, the worries, like, can I do this? Is it possible? How do you work with people to eliminate that, recognize and then eliminate, or just get rid of that, so that you could be so deeply connected with the vision, which is, I believe, necessary?
Yeah, there's, you know, doubts, they do show up. I think one of the bigger things I see, at least in my experience, has been, truly knowing what their vision is. Because what's interesting is we're so conditioned, and I say this word so often, but it is even more in today's world because of social media and so much more of what we think we want. Like, the hardest question in the world to answer for someone, you get my experiences too as a coach, is that, what do you want? And it's what do you want to experience in your life? And it's like, and they'll just rattle something off. And I'm like, you're not going to fool me that way. I pick up on energy. So that's definitely not you. And then they'll be like, well, you know, I just never thought about it. And I'm like, because when people will do the vision work, sometimes my clients, like, a couple months to like get it down. And I always tell them it doesn't matter how long it takes you to do this, because you may have never done this before. And so this may take a while. But it's funny, I can't tell you how many times I just had a client today I was talking to, and he said the exact same thing. He's like, this vision thing, something you said clicked. And now all of a sudden, he's been with me for a month and a half, and he's like, I got to go back and redo everything, because that wasn't me. And I'm always like, isn't that funny? And he goes, yeah, you said that before, but it just wasn't hitting. And now I know what you mean. I'm like, all right, now we're getting to the good stuff. He's like, I'm so behind in coaching. I'm like, don't worry about where you are. I'm like,
right.
I go, once you get this, everything starts to accelerate a lot faster.
Nice.
Yeah. But I mean, if I do get some people that don't believe, that's where I'll start to look at limiting beliefs. Like, why is that? Right. Who told you that? You know, because it's more of who in their past is telling them something like that rather than them, really. It's like the inner critic we all have. I always say the inner critic is not, it sounds like you, it talks like you, uses the same words that you use, but that's not you.
Right.
As someone else, as someone in your past. And it's not just one person, but there's a multitude of things. And in some people, you need to be aware of what that is and go back and understand where it came from, which we all know. Or sometimes we can just reprogram the belief right there and then. It just depends on the individual.
Right. Beautiful. Simple. Love it. Because it does come down to simple things, I find. But it's just a matter of doing the work.
Yeah, I mean, we've overcomplicated everything in this world, you know, and that's because we live with a mind-strong world. Everything's mind-centered, mind everything. So we're in an information era, and the mind always complex everything. It makes so much complex. Like, I always tell my clients, I always say, like, well, you're going to work with me. I'm not teaching you nothing new. And I'm not going to say something new, fancy phrase. I'm not going to put something in acronym. I'm not against those things. So if anybody does them, I don't want to be like, I'm making fun of anything. I just, I'm going to share stuff with you that you've heard 1,000 times. I'm just going to put it in a way that's so simple. It's easy for you to digest. And I can't tell you how many times I hear people when I talk, they're like, I've heard this so many times, but when you say it, it's just the way you put it together. I'm like, it's just simple. It's not me. It's just simple. Like, it's the way I try to comprehend things in the most simplest way possible. And I really believe, like, I always tell people too, I'm like, if someone makes something sound too complex, run away, because they're not a master of it. Not saying I'm a master, because I'll never use that term. I don't like using terms like masters or experts, because those are an expert would be the first person that tells you no. And, you know, masters, I feel like I'm just a student of life, always learning. So, but it's one of those things where I lost my train of thought on that, but I'll leave it at that.
Sure. In your own words, what is that process of creating a vision and actually having a vision and connecting to that vision? What does that do from like a physiological perspective within the body to help someone, again, live more effortlessly towards that purpose?
So the physiological effects of that. So when you really connect to a vision that resonates with you, you're going to feel lighter in some way, shape, or form. Like, there's the neuropeptides. These are those emotional things. So neuropeptides, neuro means nerves, and peptides is a form of protein. These are what they call the, you know, back in the day, if you had intuition or a gut feeling or something like that, they'll call that woo-woo stuff. Well, now we know for a fact that isn't. There's actually a physiological response. But the key point of attaining to a vision is it raises one's vibe, and you start to get emotions and feelings of bliss, joy, even some peace and calmness will come with that. And that's where I use a lot of this stuff. So like I said before, we're so headstrong. So a lot of my work is all heart strong. Like, how do I get you out of your head so you don't think? That's the whole point of effortless. Like, imagine you don't have to think about what your next step's going to be and you become successful. I would call that effortless. Or an idea comes to you, I would call that effortless. You didn't have to put in energy. There is energy you have to put into it, but you're not putting it into that direction, because when you put energy on that vision, it's a game changer.
Yeah. My word for it, it's like, you're not forcing it. Like, there is still some, like, quote unquote work. Like, I think a better way of saying it is like, you're doing something, but it's not like you're forcing or having to like extend an energy. Like you said, like the opposite of effortless is effort. We consider that as like, oh, I have to do this, or this is difficult or challenging. Like, yeah, it sounds opposite of that, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, there's that one law. So when I say effortless, I get a lot of backlash, especially in the business world. Like, oh, you have to work, you have to grind, you have to put effort in, you have to do this. And I always go, yes, there's something called the law of inspired action. You're going to have to take action. It's not going to. And what I usually will tell people is, I'm like, listen, let's go to the Bible and let's look at David and Goliath, right? The whole story. Everybody knows that story. You've heard it before. And I'm always like, so effortless success is that story. Business advice is you take every stone, you keep throwing it like crazy, and eventually one of them are going to stick and you'll hit what you need to do. But effortless success is taking action when you feel inspired to, and when it happens, when you do that one thing, look what he did. He picked up the rock at the right time, at the right moment, the right everything. The wind was blowing just beautifully. Then when he threw it, it hit him dead center, game over. And so I'm like, that's what effortless success looks like.
That's awesome.
And then I guess, and you know, without the vision, people are going to be scattered. Right. And their mindset. And, you know, today's day and age too, I bet probably part of the reason why it's so hard to create that vision is if you got to sit down and think about it, right. And feel into it. And it's like, if we're always connected to social media and news and phones, everything's vying for our attention. It's almost as if we never have any of our own original thoughts anymore. Just things are being placed inside of us.
it is in so many ways. And that's the thing I love about vision work is that you don't get, well, you still can get distracted, but if you're really focused on that vision, you can't get distracted. You know, you won't get pulled away. You'll stay. Cause I always tell them, like, this is why we do so much vision work. Cause it's not only the main vision. I have also the 5 M's that I go over. It's just, my last name is Manzel. So I'm like, all right, I'll just call it the 5 M's. So it's one of those things where, you know, it's your mindset, it's your marriage, which is all your relationships, movement, physical health, your mission is your passion and purposes, could be your business and stuff like that. And then money. And those are that we create 5 visions off that. of what that means and what that is for you to tie to the main, then go down that path. And the whole reason is, again, is to never go off course from what you want to do. Never pay, only give energy to what aligns with it. And it helps people to increase focus. Cause again, we live in a, I mean, our attention span is less than eight seconds, probably less than that now. And it's one of those things where it's going to get harder and harder for people to focus. We're already seeing it. And it's kind of like, okay, how do you counter what you're dealing with, right? Because what can I go tell everybody? Hey, go meditate. That's already hard enough for people as it is. And it's getting harder and harder. So it's like, how can you use systems to be like, all right, I'm going to use neurology here to kind of, how do I cut corners a little bit? So that way it can make it easier for the person to be successful or set them up for a better success.
Nice. It's awesome. Anything else you want to share on the vision? Because honestly, for me, that sounds like, yeah, it's super simple, straightforward. Just do it. Obviously, like having support is helpful as you do as work, as I do, like, but anything else you want to mention on the vision before I ask you another question outside of that?
Yeah. Like you were talking about it earlier, like there's no limits to it. The only limit is what you can't see. So whatever you can imagine in your mind, you can create in your reality. And that's your potential really. And so have fun with it. I always tell people, be a kid again. I always tell clients, I'm like, my goal, if you're going to work with me, my goal is to get you back to a 3-4-year-old. And I get the weirdest look sometimes. I'm like, listen, maybe not on a maturity level, but from what, you know, if you look at a 3-4-year-old, peak imaginations at that time, and they don't care about anything except what excites them, right? Mm-hmm. They get curious about something and they go all in and they don't care what other people are thinking. Logic mind hasn't kicked in yet. It's developing, but it's not at the point where they're making like, oh no, this is not that, or this is, you know, they're not really that getting that point yet. And right. So be a kid again when you do this kind of work and have fun with it.
I love it. That actually just made me think of something else you said earlier. It's like not thinking about it. Like if you could take action from not thinking, then like it just full on inspired action. Like you said, it sounds exactly like as a kid. So that's awesome. All right. So next, what else? Because obviously like a vision, having the vision is great, but then what else would you say is like a key component of effortless success?
So then you got to focus on, so like when you create a vision, it's like goal, whatever it is you want to achieve, you got to let go of it. It's all the set it and forget it kind of a thing, because your work's going to be this part. And this part here is, how do you set your vibe every single day, right? What are you, where's your energy at? Because at the end of the day, law of vibration states, you know, wherever you're vibrating at, that's what you're going to experience. It's not anything out. You can never experience anything outside where you're vibing. Well, what's vibe? What's your thought, emotions, and where you're focusing? So how are you showing up every single day? How are you setting the tone? Because if you're not setting the intent and tone of your energy of what you want to get yourself to be, well, you're going to go back to the average of what I call the matrix or a human collective consciousness. And so it's one of the things is you can use vision. You can look into your future self and you can go ahead and start to get elevated emotions. What is that? What do you feel? What are you getting from that? Are you getting excited? Are you getting happy? Are you getting having some joy in there? And that's the kind of thing you want to do, to set your vibe every single day. But then this is a little tricky. I'll go a little bit further into this, but it's, then you have to detach from that because you're using your future as a trigger. Mm. And the key is then being happy for no reason. Mm. Right. Again, going back, you're going to hear me say this a lot, going back to a 3-4-year-old kid, right? Mm-hmm. They're happy for no reason. You know, they just enjoy the moment and they're it's not really because of what they're doing. It's just, they're just happy. I have a three-month-old daughter and I'll be talking. She'll just look at me. And as soon as I catch my eye and I'm like, she's looking, I look at her and she'll just still,
yeah,
and just smile. Right. And then sometimes I'll hear her, we'll put her on the bed and I'll hear her giggling. And I'm like, who is she laughing with? You know, I'm like, she's just happy. And it always gives me a fresh reminder. Like, that's how we have to be, because if we can be happy about nothing, then we're going to be happy about everything. And that's just a game changer. But it's really just looking at future and then connecting that and bringing it back to self in the present, because this is where we can tap into the quantum. Quantum has no time. There's no time at all in quantum. So we can go into the future, imagine that, bring it here into the present, and then feel, be, and do that aspect. So you got to, you know, that's what I was saying earlier, like visualizing who you are in the future, tapping into that, getting excited. Now, some people say, well, I can't get excited, or I don't know, I don't really get the vibe that I can. Well, then go in your past and find it. Like, that's the beautiful thing. Like I ever since having my daughter, I just imagine myself holding her in my arms and seeing her smile on my face. And when I see her smile and I'm looking at that, man, I'm instantly there. And then I just let go of that and I just hold on to that feeling. And now I'm here. Now I have it. And then I'm good. I'm solid. And I just keep focusing on that. And I let it keep growing inside me. I let it keep doing that. And this takes practice. But once you get that, you'll start to feel it. You want to feel it in your body somewhere. And that's starting to let you know, like, there's two things why I teach this. Because one is then you know what that feeling is. And you want your mind to come in now and play a role with this. Because you want your mind to, the mind's a very beautiful tool to have. The problem is when you let it dictate your life. But if you can let it, the mind doesn't mind sitting in the back a little bit. The mind doesn't mind. Didn't realize what I just said there. It doesn't mind when it's sitting in the back a little bit, but it has to be like, hey, I want to be part of this too. So then you just say, hey, whenever I feel this, that means I'm in that state that I want to be in. That's the vibe I want to be continuing to have. Just let me know that's my alignment. Because I use that feeling to teach then, again, getting out of the mind all together. I use that feeling to know when we're in alignment. I use that feeling to know when we're in aligned with our vision. And when things are coming up or making a choice on something, to know if that is aligned. So that way we won't have to try to figure it out. So you just feel it and you'll know if it's there or not.
Nice.
It's like tapping into the wisdom of the heart and the body, right? We already know that most of the signaling goes up from the body to the mind. So getting that right in the heart, those signals are going to go up. The mind's going to be right.
Yeah. And the thing is too, is like, we don't realize that the most advanced technological thing that has ever existed and will ever exist is the body. Like being a chiropractor, I've studied everything I can about the body, and chiropractors know, I would say chiropractors even know more about the body than medical doctors do based on what we study. Mm-hmm. Now I will say this though, when you look at what we know about the body based from the genome project, they looked at all the genes. What we know and discovered so far and what the genes say are potentially there, we only know 1 to 10% of what the body and brain does. 1 to 10%. Each system's different, varies on different stuff. So there's still 90 to 99% of what we don't know what this body's capable of doing. But yet we think we're very far in advance of what we do know. And I'm always like, yeah, that's, we're only, yeah, how far advanced can you be from 1 to 10%? And that's why I love being a chiropractor, because what we do is we're like, we don't need to know what the body does. We just need to know that we make adjustments. We work with that power of the body that heals the body. And we work with that and the body consciousness and light, because that's really what we work on, which is a whole nother story in itself. The body, it'll take care of itself. It does all every single time. It's designed to do that. And that's the cool part about how to start, you know, coming back to accessing and utilizing it. I really believe humanity is just playing catch up from our masters of thousands of years ago, who I think were way ahead. You know, you look at different civilizations of what they'd done and where they were. And I'm like, yeah, we're just playing catch up.
Mm-hmm. Man, there's so much from what you just said. Literally, there's so many different outspurts, but I just actually want to follow that thread. The last thing you just said, what do you believe is like the next stage for humanity then? Like, given you, what you know, and like your work and your awareness, like, cause like you said, is like, we're learning or playing catch up from the masters, and at that only 1 to 10% of what we're actually accessing of our potential so far in the body. What do you see? I'm just curious. Like, what do you see as like the next stage for us?
Oh, it's very exciting. We're moving from Homo sapiens to Homo spiritus. We're going to, the veil is being removed, and we are going to connect. We're going to see that, you know, like death, for example, like that's just a transition. Like some people say, well, we know this already. I'm like, yeah, but most of the world doesn't. And right. So we're starting to tap more into our true essence of our soul being more expressed onto the, you know, the physical plane in yes. some ways. And it for people who know this, you know, the age of Aquarius is here and all that stuff. But that's, you know, but it's one of the things is we are literally miraculously going to shift our DNA potentially, from what I've been hearing, is that it's going to go back to where, what originally was. We look at it as a double helix, but it's not. It's a triple helix, which is, I think it's a 12 strand or something like that comes out to being. And again, DNA is just frequencies, right? That's what holds us in a certain space. And what we know is that when we shift over to this new level of an upgrade, if you want to call it, we're going to be able to access way higher stuff. Like, you know, talking to, you know, connecting with, you know, spirit and stuff like that, it's going to be at a whole different level. And expressing and manifesting is going to be a whole different level. The power is going to be returned back. And we're going to understand that we're giving our power away so much. And that's why we don't see what we see in our life and how to turn back into. So it's living in a whole different way. It's happening already. It's kind of interesting to see the journey, but it's going to be very cool. Right. I mean, from every aspect, every sector, every different area of life. I mean, from healing is going to be mind-boggling to what it's already out there. It's just when it gets to a certain point, like quantum healing, quantum beds that are going to, get down to the quantum energetic level and help shift and change that. And when it comes to just so many different elements, it's exciting times when we shift to that homeo spiritus side. Mm-hmm. I mean, Nikola Tesla said it himself. If we can focus, if we look at the universes from an energy, vibration, and frequency standpoint, humanity will evolve so fast and so quick. What they do, I'm going to exaggerate here, but like in 1 year, what they can do in 100. I mean, it's just, it's going to be so monumental. And that's where the potential is. And it's just a matter of, and everybody's starting to feel it. Like, it's just a matter of like, something's got to give, something's got to happen, something big's coming.
Right.
What does that look like?
Yeah. Mm. Follow-up question, because I'm fully on board with everything you just shared. There's a lot, again, of different things we can shoot off from, but I want to stay in this line. Like, then what do you feel is like the individual purpose within all of that? Because I have a feeling it's not just like our own individual like choices or what we do that like is causing or helping this shift, but like, how do you relate that to individuality, like our own selves? Because obviously like by the work that you do and helping clients in what, like living life they love or achieving their dreams and living life effortlessly, do you find that that's connected?
Massively, yeah. Because people who come high track to me are, they're either tired of what they've been doing. Like, it's funny. I was talking to another client today about, I'm like, it's another client of mine who's like shifting gears in what they do in their career, in their business. A lot of people are seeking for more fulfillment, something that is deeper. And it's not, about what we thought the material is all about. I mean, look at millennials. Millennials are at a point where they're like, they don't even care about, grinding to a certain level and all this. They're saying they just care more about what's going to hold us so I can live the life I want to live. And I think that's a huge shift from, I don't even know where I stand. I'm 39 years old. I think I'm at the end of millennials. I don't even pay attention to these things, but, some people say I am, some people say I'm like, well, I don't like being on the phone. That's a millennial thing. I'm making phone calls. That is, right. But, one of the thing is that there's that individual side of fulfillment is what's actually helping accelerate it too, to make the shift.
Yes.
And that's the big purpose of what I do. Like my main purpose in life is to raise the conscious levels of individuals to help them rediscover their greatness. The work I do is to help them create fulfillment. Now, fulfillment means different. To me, I just say, if you choose what you want to have and you choose what you want to experience and you make that happen, I think that's fulfillment. But it's also a soul aspect of where we're experiencing what we came to do here or came to have an experience. And the more that humans are doing this, it's going to create that ripple effect to accelerate that process. And it also helps liberate others to do the exact same thing, to get out of this whole, what I call like a mental prison, just from a conditioning standpoint and all these other things. And it's exciting times because it's happening. And the more people I'm starting to talk to, it's fascinating how they may have success or they may not, but it's really, when it comes down to it, it's like, no, I just want to have that fulfillment and then freedom. And I want to be able to just, this is what I really matters in my heart. And I want to start doing that. Nice. And I'm always like, this is fun. All right. I can work with this. I get so excited when I hear that. And I'm like, all right, let's do it. Let's make this a reality.
Right. Thank you for sharing that. Cause I that's my feeling too, given my work. And I know, Chris, I believe you believe the same. Cause obviously like our work on our podcast, but we see that from almost all of our guests. And also you were speaking about like the age range of like younger people in the younger generation, like are really like tapping into that more. It's like the core for them. Our listenership is anywhere from 18 to like 40, 44 or so is our, like, it's like 80% of people who listen to our podcast of science and spirituality. Like, to us, that just like shows like, hey, like there's a lot more of people moving toward that side of like wanting that deeper fulfillment. So it's awesome to hear you're seeing that too.
Yeah. And I just think it's funny too, because it's an inner thing, right? It's like one of the things that's like, just they get pulled to. And I think this is where the new whole movement's going. And it's happening. I mean, I've been seeing it for last 10 years. I mean, ever since when the Mayan calendar and all the fear that was being put up by mainstream about the end of the world's coming.
Right.
And I was always like telling people, I was even telling patients of mine, I'm like, they're like, you think it's going to end? I'm like, have you ever studied the Mayan culture and their civilization? I go, I have. And I go, this is not the end of the world. It's the end of a time and the beginning of something new that's going to be outside of time. And they're like, huh? I'm like, when we get there, I go, I don't even know half of it. I just understand the basics. I don't even know what that's going to look like. And I don't even know if I can comprehend it. And at that time I was like, and still to this day, I'm like, no time. I'm like, but it's just, again, that's one part of what the veil means. When we were removing the veil, we can start to access things a lot faster and understand it's all vibration and play that field and start to see that make those massive changes.
Mm. Beautiful.
Do the majority of your clients come to you really ready to do this type of work, or do they come with like curiosity and there's a lot of like resistance in certain areas of what you teach? And if so, what are those big resistance points?
You know, I would say I'm my dad, this is what my dad used to call himself. He used to call himself a double agent, because it's one of those things where I don't come out that's why I call myself a business and spiritual mindset coach. I used to be just a business mindset coach. And then I have business people come to me and I start getting into this stuff and vision and meditations and quantum physics and neuroscience, all these things. And they're like, I want to know business stuff, how to do funnels, this and that. I'm like, well, I know how to do that, but that's not what we're going to get into. We're going to get into this first. And so sometimes there is that resistance. The biggest resistance though is that I see, and this I think is just a normal thing in humanity, is how much less work that's needed instead of all the work they have to do, right? They're always thinking they have to do stuff outside. I have to do this, I have to do that. And that's probably the biggest thing I see. From a spirituality side, I leave it to where they are. You know, some people come and they want to learn all that they can. And some people, they get it, they like it. They like the quantum side of things. And that's where they'll feel more comfortable with. And I'm good with that, but that's where my diversity comes in. Because when I was doing energy healing and I was trying to explain it to people, I literally had classmates of mine who were telling me, go do energy work. That's not chiropractic, or, that's woo woo crazy stuff. And I was always like, okay, you keep throwing me that. I'm gonna go study things. And I started to study quantum physics and I started to study other things to bring science to the table. So sometimes if somebody's a little resistant, I will bring science there and just be like, here's the science. And let's keep it in this conversation. Does that work for you? And they're like, yeah, I like that. Okay, great. We'll stay there then. But you know, like when I say, hey, you're going to do universe. Well, I like God. Okay, let's go God. We'll use God. Or I don't like God, I like Allah. Okay, let's use Allah. I really don't care. I can name every other ones too. But at the end of the day, it's what works for them and how I connect with them, because that's the biggest thing. Because if I have any resistance from them, a lot of my work's not going to work for them then.
Right. Talking about
a lot. I hope I answered the question, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did that answer the question, Chris?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, sweet. Yeah. But you were talking about, like, I mean, what you just said, like the resistance, like to work the way that would help them. It made me think of a law that I know is the law of non-resistance. But that actually just, my mind brings up a question that I was thinking of before, but coming up now, just even mentioning the laws, where have you learned some of the laws? Like, cause there, I mean, who knows if there's an end of like the laws of the universe, but like, where'd you study? Cause I'm curious, cause for myself, cause I've only have a few resources where I studied the laws of the universe.
Yeah. I mean, I think I got started with the first 12, you know, like the law of one, law of perpetual transformation of energy, you know, law of gestation, law of gender, all that stuff.
And that was from Hermeticism, correct?
Yep. Yep.
Great.
And okay. Yeah. So that's where it began. Cause you know, hermetic principles, that's where chiropractic comes from. We're very into where we can't, cause what I'm about to say, people can judge us. We come from a lot of occult practices. So, and a lot of, in our profession, unfortunately, they don't want to accept that. Cause when you look at like who the developer was and all these individuals, they're Freemasons, they were Bone and Skulls. They come from all the secret societies. In Freemasonry, they talk a lot about hermetic principles. Because when I went to chiropractic school, the funny thing was, is they recommended a book that we had to go over. It was called The 33 Principles of Chiropractic. And I was like, oh, great. These are principles on chiropractic. Nope. They were nothing to do with chiropractic. They were universal principles about force, matter, how things work, all universal. And I was like, where does this come from? And then the number 33. Why 33? Right? And I'm like, man, why? And then you look at different numbers in the profession and you're like, this really is connected in some other way. And I've studied Freemasonry and I have friends in it. And I would bring it up and they're like, yeah, 33, we think that comes. That's a master number. I'm like, yeah, numerology, it's a master number. And they're like, well, what do you think? Why do we like 33 so much? And I was like, all right, I'm starting to see a big picture here. don't know where I went with that, but
that's okay. I see where you're going. I mean, it was all about the, like, where'd you learn from the laws?
Yeah. So that, so back to that. Yeah. So that's where, you know, my beginning was, you know, hermetic principles. And then, you know, and then it just became, you know, a little at a time, just, you know, learning something from here or there, or hearing something, or sometimes I call it a law. And I don't even know if it is, but I just studied spiritual. It comes from ancient wisdom, and I've seen it across different spectrums of stuff, like different religions will talk about it, or just wisdom of different things. And I'm like, all right, there's so many connections here. That's got to be a law. I just don't know how it cannot be. And then, you know, sometimes I'll go Google it and I'm like, ah, yeah, it is. Interesting. Yep.
There you go. That's awesome. So we, another, you may or not have heard of this book, the book that I've studied on top of Hermeticism, but I have a feeling this teacher got it a lot from Hermeticism, or just like yourself, of like studying certain things and then came up with his own labels for it. But it's a book called Working with the Law by Raymond Halliwell. It was studied by my mentor, and we've done some episodes on our podcast about it. And it's like 11 of the universal laws. But again, I feel like there's more, or there's like different ways of using different terms. So it really doesn't matter. But just as long as you're working with certain things that are principles that don't change, but we can change by means of working with them. So
yeah, totally. I mean, like the law of focus, I don't even know if that's a law, to be honest with you.
Sure.
But I do know from a quantum physics perspective, and I also know from a neuroscience perspective, that, you know, that becomes just factual in what those two things show. So I'm like, and then you always hear people say, wherever attention goes, energy goes. I'm like, that's right. Focus. So now I was like, that's law of focus. I mean, that's just the law of focus. And wherever you're putting your focus at is where your energy is going. Source is going to go there, and that creates life to it. So I'm like,
right.
That if I got those two right there backing up, I'm like, it's got to be a law then, because I don't know what
100%.
Else.
100%. That's funny though. It's just, again, like our words are labels, like, because the first law in working with the law is called the law of thinking, but it's basically what you're describing as the law of focus. So it really doesn't matter technically.
See, there we go. I love hearing that.
Awesome. Sweet. Well, I mean, Chris, you got any other questions coming up? Because I was going to go back into another key of effortless success.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, give us one more, because given our time, like, we're closing in out here, but like another, let's say, like, so we got the first one was having the vision. Second was aligning your energy and like letting go of attachment. So anything else that you feel is like key or necessary to having effortless success?
Those two are extremely powerful, but I would say the third one is you then you have to have trust. If you have to have faith. And when I say faith, that's not religious based. That's inner knowing. And you know that all things are going to work. All things are going to happen, because these are the laws. It's just how this all aligns. But one thing I will say though, is that whatever's showing up in your life is the feedback of where you're vibrating at. So it just gives you cues to know if you're in flow, in alignment and all that, or if you're not. There's emotions that can tell you that, but then there's also what's showing up in your life is going to be that way also. And so, but having the faith, you have to have that faith. I mean, that was one of the biggest things that for me was just knowing. It wasn't like questioning it, or maybe not, plan B, plan C kind of thing. It was just like, no, this is where it's going. Like, I'm going in that direction. The universe, God, Allah, whatever, it sees more than I do. So I'm very open to whatever comes. And that's when I think sometimes people, and I did this, this was a mistake I made. And I see a lot of people, entrepreneurs I work with, do the same thing, where it's like, we want to have this certain success, but we want to see it in this way. Mm-hmm. And then the universe comes and gives it to you in a different way, but it's still the same thing. It's just, it was different. And you're like, but no, that's not what I really wanted. I didn't like the way that went, or whatever it may be. And it's one of those things, just letting go and let universe bring. So one of the stories I usually share is like, you want an apple and the universe comes around and gives you an orange. Now, if you're really allowing and not creating that resistance to it, at the end of the day, you realize you got what you wanted. And that was a fruit at the end of the day. Mm. And so it's just being open to understanding that whatever's going to come your way is actually going to be not only good for your greatest good, but for the greater good of all humanity. Yes. And when you understand that principle, then it's like, okay, I know whatever's going to come. I mean, this is where I want to go. The universe is going to take control and let me, you know, bring what is the best for me, but also for humanity, for all of us to, you know, this experiment of life. And that's probably the third thing, which was, for me, was one of the hardest, but.
Sure. Mm-hmm. How would you say that someone would access that or build that kind of faith?
Great question. You when you don't have that faith and you feel like you have to have that control, and this was me, you really don't have faith in yourself or God or universe or whatever. When you allow fear in, it's the same thing. And that's really what it is. Cause when you have uncertainty, if you have any uncertainty is the one thing that humans don't like, and we create so much resistance to that. But at the same token, if you're creating resistance to it, there's a lack of trust, and the trust comes back to you. You really don't have a belief in yourself that you can do something like that, or it can happen, or it could be this certain way. And that's usually, there's some limiting beliefs in there, there's conditioning of the world in there, and all these things play a role in that. But at the end of the day, what I've learned is that I have to have trust within myself to know that. And so how do you do that? Well, you got to start small. You got to build confidence, because if you're just going to go in and say, all right, forget it, I'm going to have a seven-figure business and I'm going to do this and this and this, and bam, here's what's going to happen, I'm letting everything go. You're going to have some hard, there's going to be some lot of dark nights there. But if you take small victories and go from there and build that up, that's what works with confidence. Like, that's what I did. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember my first one in my business was, well, there's Mentium. I remember praying on a weekend, hoping that everything is going to work out, or I had to close the office in the week. And, you know, then all of a sudden three or four patients all paid up in front. And I was like, beautiful. That just bought me like 4 to 6 months. Nice. Or when I moved into a bigger space, I had a 780 square foot space and I went to 3000. I told my accountant what my rent was, and she looked and she goes, I would have never advised that. Why did you do it? And I'm like, well, I'm going to double the business anyhow. And she was just like, you've been growing, but that's a huge jump now. You've been 3 years in, you're doing really well, and now you're just saying you're going to double? I was like, we'll see. We just missed it by 12%. And nice. It's one of those things where, but that's where I started to build confidence. And then I took a 40% hit on my business. Why? Because I had the faith. I've already done this enough times where I'm like, it's all up to me. Boom. Right. What happened? Things changed again. So it's one of those things where when you do it smaller, you can build the confidence up. I'm not saying you have to do it this way, but for me, I needed to, so I can believe more in myself to go, wow, I really can. And now I'm at a point in my life where it's like, I can do anything. I can choose to do anything. Right. I have 100% faith in myself. And when I let fear in, I just don't really, I'm not having the faith with myself and trust in myself and God or universe or whatever, that this is all possible for me.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing that. It's so important. I think everyone needs to realize. And the way you described it actually reminded me of something. I had this like an epiphany of awareness just like a year and a half ago about how it works. I've been doing this unconsciously, but then I had it just like, it just hit me like a bolt of bricks. It was that you build trust by doing everything that you can do while, of course, releasing the outcome, but like that you're trusting that you're doing your part. And then, like you said, like letting go of the outcome, but like as you're just doing everything you can do, the only thing you can do is trust. Or at least it's the best, actually, in my viewpoint, it was like, it's the most logical thing to do, because you are doing the work, you're putting in the effort, you have the vision, you're working on alignment, and then more trust comes because you're just allowing things to flow. And yeah, like results definitely build more confidence too. But yeah, that was just helpful for me, because I noticed like any time that I didn't have a lot of faith was when I knew there were certain things I could do, but I wasn't doing them. And so it was like just degrading the kind of trust or the kind of faith that I had. So the opposite of that is just doing everything you can do and celebrating the small wins. I love that.
Yeah. And the one thing you just came in my mind when you were talking is too, is appreciating gratitude. And yes. I mean, this is so overused, but it's so powerful and so true. Being grateful for where you are and what you have.
Yeah.
I mean, I tell my clients all the time this, like, you know, be grateful every single day, even for the things that you think are not good. Be grateful for them, because there's blessings in that. And, and they're like, you know, I can see it. And I'm like, trust me, I'm someone who I'm with you on that. But now I'm like, it's a practice that I don't like using the word master, but it is a practice. I'm trying to master that energy of just getting to that state, like never having an expectation, never taking anything for granted, every little thing being appreciative. Because I've met mystics and sages in my life where they do have that mastered, and you can feel that. And it's like, they are like, so like they get a glass of water, I'm so happy and so blessed for this cup of water. And I'm like, there's like, how much water? I can get you 10,000 gallons of this stuff. And he's like, it's this one little cup that I'm so grateful for. And I'm just like, but now I get that. And I'm just like, man, I got to get better at that, because in our culture, we don't do that. In Western civilization, we don't take on gratitude, looking at being grateful for every little thing. Like if I push the little push button on my car and it starts, and I'm so blessed that my car started today. Yep. You know, how many times have I done that already? You know, gazillions of times, but it's like, nope, but today it still did. I'm so grateful. And that's something that, you know, it's a practice I'm really working hard at to get better, or just practicing to get better with it in that way.
Amazing. Beautiful. Well, Chris, anything else from you? That was a great ending, I feel. But
yeah, I feel complete.
And I mean, hey, there's so many other things I feel like we could dive into, but this has been amazing. Thank you for being here and sharing all this. I feel like this just went by like that, just like very quick, but that means it's a good conversation and a lot of good stuff coming through. So I'm sure people got a lot out of this. So thank you.
No, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciated the convo.
Yeah, it's great. And then where can people find you? If someone wants to work with you or find out more how they can or what you do, where is the best place to go for you?
My website's my hub. That's where you can find everything at empoweryourreality.com. I have some stuff on there if this resonates, and I have a coaching call you can do there for free. I got some free resources like an ebook on the power of visualization where I share some studies on that. I have a podcast. You can get access to it there. Social media wise, bottom left of the website, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and TikTok. Any questions you have, I'm always here. I love us hearing from people and any questions or anything. I love hearing from people.
Awesome. Sounds good, man. Thank you for sharing. And we'll include all those links in the description of this episode. So if you're listening or resonating with Dr. Vic, then you can definitely go there, click the link, and then you can connect with him. So Vic, thanks again for being here. It's been awesome. And you listening, hoping you have a great day.
Appreciate it, brother. Thank you so much.
And that's it for today. So thanks for tuning in. We really hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. So any questions, any comments, connect with us on Instagram personally at Kevin F. Carton
or at Chris J. Carton or our podcast or Instagram page at Science and Spirituality Podcast. And if you feel guided to, the one thing that we do ask is for you to please rate the podcast and also leave a review. This way we can reach more people and in that way impact more lives. So with that, we'll see you on the next episode.